Well, good afternoon. This is your host, William Paris, and welcome to Travel and Wellness Today. So excited to have you listening in. It's a great day here in New York City, and I've got a very exciting guest on the show this week, Margie Jordan. You know, over the past several weeks, I've been mentioning exciting places to visit. I've been talking about whether it's a cruise or whether it's going to different destinations for mission trips, all kinds of things. But one question that keeps coming up to me has been the idea of what's happening with Cuba and the fact that the relations with Cuba are now have moved in a different direction. Well, I'm excited because today we have a Cuba specialist on the show, Margie Jordan, and we're going to be talking about that. But before we jump into the fun and exciting topic of Cuba, I want to just take a moment to thank my guest, Federico Petrelli from Kitchen Therapy, who was on the show last week. And if you haven't tuned in and if you haven't listened, you really should go to the archive, which is talkradio.nyc/TWT, like Travel Wellness Today, and then pod, the word pod. So it's talkradio.nyc. Slash TWT pod. And that's a great show to listen to because Federico and I were chatting about how to develop new relationships with food and plant-based culinary traditions from around the world. And he was just a wealth of knowledge. So I just want to thank him once again for his time and certainly sharing his knowledge. Another thing I also want to mention is that several weeks ago I was talking about my summer cruise to Bermuda, which was a lot of fun. Left New York on Norwegian Breakaway. That particular ship holds, I think, over 3,000 passengers. And of the 3,000 passengers, there were 1,100 kids on that ship. Fun. Lots of fun. So, of course, now when you think about taking a cruise, you might want to plan it around times, I don't know, maybe when the kids are in school. However, for all of you parents out there who are looking for kid-friendly, child-friendly adventures, I was reading an article about destinations for the next generation Globetrotters for that specialize in trips for kids. One was the Almyra in Cyprus. It's set amidst the, it's 8 acres of garden overlooking the Mediterranean. It has very chic family treats that they offer. It's a family-run 189-room resort. It's great for parents. It's a great destination because it's guaranteed sunshine. They've got what they call bulletproof childcare. Now, I have no idea what that is, but maybe I'll look into that and share that. And they also have an award-winning spa and massage. And it's, you know, they give you an opportunity to take the kids away from you, to spend time with the kids. They've got a whole kids club program. And then they've got exciting things for the parents to do that are separate from the kids, where children are not allowed. So they've got their own kiddie concierge, and then they've got, you know, spa services and exciting activities. So that's the Almyra, and that's in Cyprus. But I'm going to share more about that on another show when I'm talking, specifically about kids. But we've got so much to talk about with regard to Cuba. I don't want to waste time with my usual travel chat this morning. So I want to welcome Margie to the show. Margie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I just want to let my listeners know that you're the president of Jordan Executive Travel in Jacksonville, Florida, and that your agency creates tailor-made vacations designed to find the heartbeat of a destination. And today your specialty conversation is about Cuba. Well, welcome to the show again.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little more about Jordan Executive Travel. How long have you been in the travel business?
We've been in business for 10 years. It doesn't really seem like it's been that long, but for 10 years, and we do quite a few custom tailor-made trips pretty much all over the world. And our clients are a good group of people located not just in Florida, but we have quite a few in the Northeast, on the West Coast, and we sell a lot of international travel, cruises, just overall lots of really cool experiences.
One thing that you mentioned in just your description was that your vacations are designed to find the heartbeat of a destination. Tell us more about that. What does that mean?
Generally, when people travel, and especially when they're just searching vacations and booking online, they start with a typical hotel airfare. Well, that's a great place to start, but if that's all you ever include in your vacation, then you're missing out on some amazing experiences with the locals. And we try to help you get so much out of the tourist circuit and a little more connected to the destination through the locals. For instance, we did a personal trip last year to India and Dubai, and especially with Dubai, I know a lot of people are fascinated with all of the architecture, the high-rise buildings. You know, there's the Burj Khalifa there, the world's tallest building, and all of that is wonderful, but it's very touristy. So we spent quite a bit of time in old Dubai where there are no tall buildings. You get the entire sense of the Muslim culture there. And when I was in the souks there, the call came out for prayer, and you literally saw everybody shut their doors, close up their shop, and head off to prayer. It was an absolutely amazing experience. And similar things when we went to India, we volunteered in the community kitchen there and cooked and fed the homeless. So it's a different kind of vacation. We visited a couple temples and spoke with lots of locals and spent a lot of time just walking around and out with the people rather than sitting in the tour bus and looking from the road.
Well, you're a tour guide or a tour professional after my own heart, because I absolutely agree with you, and I've spoken so often about travel, and of course this is what the show is about, but I've always emphasized the relevance of other cultures and how it broadens your perspective of the world when you have an opportunity not just to land in a particular destination and see the sites that are popular for tourists, but to really become involved in how the locals live, what the culture is all about, and to be able to really digest the history. And that way, you're really getting a much more fulfilling experience and a lot more for your money. And it's those types of memories that will last a lifetime.
I agree. And it's so interesting that you say that, especially with our topic today with Cuba. You'll soon see that the whole trip to Cuba is focused on that very idea of getting connected to the local culture.
You know, as I said, people have said to me over the past few months that they want to go to Cuba, and I have not been, Margie, but I said, okay, well, I'm going to do some investigating and you know, put together, you know, a package and a tour and you know, and advertise it. But you know what, I'm constantly reading about what's new, what's happening, what's hot, and I always appreciate other travel professionals that have actually done this or have experienced things that I have in mind. And I read an article, your article, as a matter of fact, which said, hey, you know, this is somebody that I want to speak to, because from what I can tell and based on the information that I've been able to get from you, it's not that cut and dry. It's not, okay, the borders are open, let's book a flight and then just arrive and then randomly walk through the streets of Cuba.
Yes, you're right. The door is slightly open, and I don't ever want to give the impression that you can just, you know, go online and go to the airline site and book your flight and get a hotel and just lounge around on the beaches of Cuba all day. It's definitely not that sort of a vacation, but what's exciting is that there is opportunity to go, and the doors have opened a little bit, and so there's a huge demand right now for people who want to go over and see Cuba as it is right now, before the doors are wide open, and it's going to take some years, really, before that happens. But they want to see it the way it is right now, before it becomes another Caribbean island to visit.
I couldn't agree with you more. So now, that being said, as you've mentioned, you know, going to Cuba is not, you know, laying around, you know, the pool and relaxing at the beach and a matter of just going on a third party site like Expedia and booking a trip to Cuba. But what could listeners look forward to in terms of what would they do when they got to Cuba?
So I guess we maybe should consider why or how they can go.
Okay.
And what the opportunities are, how most Americans are spending their time in Cuba when they get there. So for the most part, before some of the regulations have changed, before to go to Cuba, you had to apply and be approved, and you had to go for specific reasons. Well, those specific reasons are still there. You can go visit family, or if you're a journalist, you can go. You know, educational, religious options are still there. All of those same reasons are still there. But what's changed is you don't have to apply or put in paperwork to do so to get over there, which is making this really attractive to a lot of people now, because nobody really wanted to do all of that paperwork before. So once you go over, most people are going now on what's called a people-to-people trip. And what that is you really have a full-time schedule of activities that involve interacting with the Cuban culture. So in the morning, for instance, you may get up and visit an area where you're talking to the local retailers. And these are things where you actually sit down and have conversations with them. You may be communicating with the farmers, or in some instances, you would actually be talking with some of the Cuban population and learning in particular about what some of their struggles and concerns are, specifically with American business coming into Cuba now. You might meet artists and performers and learn a little bit about their life. So your day is going to be spent, for the most part, interacting with culture there, interacting with people, getting to learn more about Cuba itself, how it functions, what some of their struggles are. You will spend a lot of time just having that experience. More, it wouldn't be the typical laying around the beach and that sort of thing. You will get to the beach, you'll get to see the beach, but you won't hang out there for long. But the American government now is requiring that you have a full-time activity each day you're there, just kind of interacting with the culture. And in the evenings, you would spend some time dining in some fabulous establishments, mom-and-pop establishments, enjoying some of the really, really authentic, wonderful food over there as well.
If the U.S. If U.S. citizens are required to have a full-time schedule, is there a document or something, or is it advised to use, obviously, a travel agent? And is there something that is submitted that says, okay, when we're in Cuba, this is our schedule?
There's nothing that is submitted, and you do have to, there's no set guidelines on what you need to do. I think what the concern is once you go over, and you would need to keep detailed records of what your activities are, and I guess that kind of leads us to this point, is that the U.S. also requires that if you go over, you have to keep your receipts and a detailed record of what you did in Cuba every day you were there for 5 years from the date you return. So you want to keep detailed records of who you met if you're creating your own schedule, which is really difficult to do. So my recommendation is that you work with a travel agent or a tour operator that does trips to Cuba, so you don't have to worry about this, and you know your trip is legal, and you know that it's properly set up and all the documentation is prepared for you. It's better to do it that way. The trips are going over in small groups. They're not groups of 40 to 50 people. On average, it's about 10 to 15 people in a group that goes over and has that experience. So I would highly recommend you go with a travel agent or a tour operator that books Cuba and knows what those requirements are. Doing it on your own is just more work than you want to put in for a vacation.
Wow, that is absolutely critical and vital information. I want to talk to you about the energy, the attitude, and the receptiveness of the locals. We're going to go to break, but when we come back, can we jump into that topic?
Absolutely.
Okay, then we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
What are the latest travel trends? How can travel be a part of your overall health and wellness plan? This is William Paris, lifestyle travel consultant, and your host on Travel and Wellness Today. Join me on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time for travel chat, travel tips, and travel news updates. That's on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to Travel and Wellness Today. Once again, this is your host, William Paris, having an exciting and very, very fascinating conversation with my guest today, Margie Jordan, with Jordan Executive Travel Services. I want to mention that I found, if you would, Margie by, of course, I'm constantly reading magazines and reading online articles. And the article that I read, which led me to you, Margie, I believe it was in Travel Weekly, is that right?
You might have seen some things there, yes. I've written a few posts about it and done a few interviews about it. Cuba's just really, really hot right now.
Well, before we went to break, you were talking about going into the neighborhoods, having meals in fabulous restaurants and speaking to the locals, talking about, you know, what their take might be on the borders being more open or more available to Americans. So what's the attitude? What's the energy like in Cuba among the locals?
Well, I think there's a split kind of right now. I think that there's a lot of Cubans who are a little hesitant just because of that past experience they've had with America. There's still some hesitancy there. And even as we kind of open up the doors a little bit and, you know, we've the last bit of legislation that happened, I believe, last week, opened up the doors for for Americans to do business in Cuba. And even though that door is open, that still has to be approved on the Cuban side. So, you know, we think, oh, wow, now businesses can go over, but Cuba still has to be okay and be comfortable with more American presence in Cuba. Now, remember, for years, there hasn't been any. So they have to be okay with that as well, even though we've opened up those doors. They have to reciprocate that feeling. I think even with Americans going over, we have to be sensitive to that. You know, I find a lot of times when, as Americans, we're traveling internationally, we go over with our American ideas and our American thoughts, and we don't remember that we're the minority in a country that's vastly different than our own. And Cuba's no different, even though it's a close neighbor and it's, you know, a Caribbean island. The lifestyle there is different. It's not, you know, American influenced really at all. Their ideas about things, you know, especially in America, we're, from a woman's standpoint, we're very independent. A lot of our women are. We're proud of that fact. And in Cuba, there's a different mindset there. In Cuba, being very independent and not needing help from family or friends is not exactly a thing to be proud of in Cuba.
That's interesting.
They are very family-oriented, very close-knit, and very dependent upon one another. I mean, a good example would be if a Cuban is dining out for dinner in a restaurant and has leftovers, they gather those leftovers and they bring them home and they bring them back to the community to share with other members in the community. That's not like thrown out or any of that. They're very close-knit and very dependent upon one another for their lifestyle. So this whole independent idea in America is not as welcome in Cuba. So I kind of feel like Americans going over need to be aware of some of these cultural differences and kind of how sensitive this relationship still is. And kind of, you know, just be aware. So when you go over there, you're not offensive and that you are able to absorb some of that culture and you're as welcoming to them as they will be to you.
Those are so many good points. And I've been fortunate enough to have traveled to other countries that have been considerably different than ours, Egypt being one of them, and the mindset is completely different in a country like Egypt. Yet the people are absolutely beautiful, very warm and welcoming, but there are differences, and there is certainly a measure of respect and appreciation that is necessary when you are visiting other cultures and experiencing other cultures. You know, even a country that might not be as different, I'll use even a destination like Paris. And I was told sometime before I traveled to Paris, and I've been there now, you know, several times. But before I went to Paris, there was this mindset, the Parisians don't necessarily like Americans and they're not as friendly to us and so on. Well, I'm sorry, I beg to differ, because I've been to Paris several times and I have never had a negative experience. But the difference is that before I went to Paris, even the first time, there were a few phrases that that I learned just so that I can at least communicate with the locals, as opposed to me having this mindset that I'm American, I speak English, and you're supposed to adjust to my challenges or my limitations in your country. And that is a very poor attitude to have. I have one example was going into a deli, and I was trying to order in the deli, and I'm speaking French, and I'm using my words, and I'm pointing, and I'm being expressive, and the staff member in this deli was being very patient, and then he says to me, "Sir, I speak English." So I started laughing, and I said, "Well, you see, I was trying to speak French because I wanted to be, you know, respectful." And he says, "Well, I can speak back to you in French if you'd like." And I said, "Nope, let's keep it in English." And both of us had this big laugh about it. And all of these kinds of things, just this mutual respect. And I have other experiences that, you know, I could share if we had more time. But in every instance where I have tried to meet a local in another country where they were at in their particular place, I have always been received with open arms.
I agree with you completely. I have also had very similar experiences, and I kind of like to do a little bit of research in particular about what the attitudes and the culture is before I go, because my big thing, you know, when I'm out and I'm in the world is I'm representing the U.S., obviously, but I also want to be a good world traveler and a good world citizen, so I don't want to be offensive, and I want to kind of reflect the culture instead of stand out from it. And I'm really good about trying to do that as well, especially when there's so much differences between us and them. And when you get into those Middle Eastern countries and some of the Asian countries even, like you mentioned, Egypt as well, you get into countries in some instances that are totally governed by their religion, and you have to be completely respectful of that, you know, and you want to know what those things are that you shouldn't do and you should do. I was kind of laughed about going to India. I was a little concerned because I know that they feel like you standing with your hands on your hips is offensive, and I'm notorious for this.
Okay.
I had to be good about that and keep my hands off my hips.
That is funny. That's funny. But you know, it's a very good point, Margie, because these it's something as simple as putting your hands on your hips or folding your arms that people might do and not even be conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great that giving advice that we should certainly do our homework and research the destination before we go, especially if it's in another country that is completely different than ours, Middle Eastern, Asian countries, absolutely, where the cultures are just vastly different. So now let's go back to Cuba. So now, what about the visa situation? I know obviously a passport would be required, but is a visa also required?
A visa is required when you go to Cuba. This is another great reason you want to work with a tour operator or a travel agent, because that process is handled completely for you. So there's a couple things. You need the visa, and Cuba also requires that you have a form of travel insurance when you get there. So you need that as well, and they may or may not ask for that upon entry. But it is a requirement when you get there. The visa is definitely a requirement, but the travel insurance, they, like I said, may or may not ask you for when you get there and you go through customs, but it's a requirement as well. Again, all of these things are handled for you completely. Even in terms of going to Cuba, you can't book a commercial flight right now. That's not possible. Those flights are only bookable through a third party, again, like a tour agency. A tour operator or a travel agency is how you get your flight, and they are not available to you through a commercial carrier, although I believe JetBlue is doing them and a couple other carriers are doing them. You couldn't go to one of their sites and find a flight to Cuba.
And that's not necessarily surprising, but that's good, because those individuals or listeners that don't travel extensively, these are the kinds of things that they need to know and think about. And another common question that will come up before we go to break, I think I have another minute, is the currency.
This is such a interesting conversation with the currency. So Cuba does have two different forms of currency there. And it's important that as travelers, we know which one we should be carrying. So the two currencies are the peso, which is used by the locals, the Cubans, and then there is the convertible pesos, which they refer to as the CUC. And the CUC is generally what is used by travelers, and there's a complete difference in the value of those two. So if you're paying in the convertible pesos, the CUC, which the travelers use, that is 25 times more valuable than the peso. So you want to make sure you're getting exactly what you pay back. Because if you pay in the CUC and you get back the Cuban pesos, you've just lost a substantial amount of money. So it's important to know the difference between the two, what they look like, and what you're getting back.
And of course, American dollars and credit cards don't... Can you use them? Or I don't, an ATM I know is not, you can't use an ATM.
You can't use American dollars there at all. So once you get there, you'll want to convert your American dollars. And when you do, there, you not only pay that conversion fee, but there's also a 10% penalty assessed for converting American dollars. You can see how this relationship has affected how America does business in Cuba. So you're going to pay a 10% penalty on top of that conversion fee. And then if you're thinking about using a credit card, I wouldn't advise it. We haven't been able to use credit cards over there for years, obviously. And while that's still opening up, I wouldn't advise it. If you can find an ATM or some retailer to take your credit card, that's going to be far and few between, because that infrastructure is just not that far along yet. So cash, you'd want to use cash.
Wow. Wow. This is a fascinating conversation. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, let's talk about more of the things that we take for granted. I don't know. Let's say internet access. So we're going to go to break. Let's jump back into that when we come back. Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
If you can't find the words to say, and you feel you've lost your way, move on. Stuck with nothing to show and don't know where to go. Move on.
When there's nothing to do. Welcome back to Travel and Wellness to get Travel and Wellness Today. Once again, this is your host William Paris, having a fascinating conversation with Margie Jordan from Jordan Executive Travel Services. And our topic today is on Cuba and the fact that so many people are interested in Cuba, but there's a lot of need to know information before you consider making that trip. We were talking about the currency in our last segment and the fact that the Cubans use the pesos, but there's another form of currency that the visitors use, which is called the CUC, and it's important to exchange your dollars into the CUC and not to use an ATM. Otherwise, you're losing money between the exchange of the pesos and the CUC. Did I get that right, Margie?
You did. You did. Very good.
I'm listening. So before we went to break, as you were talking about the infrastructure, it just led me to another thought, which is things that we take for granted. You know, it's interesting that I've traveled to other countries, and I have to kind of chuckle to myself because I have been in parts of the world where a particular location has been considerably, I'll use the word, pretty depressed to some degree, you know, poverty and things like that, and they just don't have the things that we take for granted in Western society. However, I always found it fascinating that no matter where I go in the world, everyone has a phone. It doesn't matter what your economic circumstances are or where you're living or how you're living. I have seen mobile phones everywhere I've traveled, and I always find that to be interesting. So that being said, how is that in Cuba? What is that like?
Well, the Cubans do have mobile phones, definitely. But where you're going to find it interesting is if you're a big internet user and you like to stay connected, this is probably going to be the one vacation you're going to have to unplug a little bit.
Okay.
There's just not a lot of internet available. This is not a top priority, or hasn't been a top priority for Cuba, is to be on the internet or on social media. That's not their priority like it is in the U.S. You know, we're big, heavy social media and internet users here. Well, it's not a focus of Cuba. So you may find internet usage. There may be internet cafes. There are internet cafes that you can access the internet. And some of the bigger hotels, more modern hotels, you might find it. But don't think that you would find it if you're out wandering about and you might, you know, be hoping to find a hot spot somewhere that you could connect to. That's not going to be the case. This is, you're going to have to make a concerted effort to find Wi-Fi. And if you do find it, it's going to be questionable as to whether it's really fast or not, or if it's working that day or not. So this might be the one vacation where you actually unplug and they won't know anything about your trip until you get home.
That's actually a good reason for me personally to go to Cuba, because I need to disconnect. And if I have no choice, then sign me up. Because for many of us, and I admit that I'm one of them, I have that email, internet addiction thing going on where I'm constantly on it all day, every day. And I have to tear myself away. It seems like there's always something to do, and the best way to get there is through the internet. But the idea that they are, that that's not important, is another cultural difference, because obviously they have found a way to function and to live without the things that so many of us feel that we would just simply cease to exist without. You know, once upon a time we had payphones and no mobile phones, and there were, you know, at best maybe a fax machine. But now, if, you know, I asked a question one day on the internet, if you were on your way to the airport and you needed to catch a flight, and suddenly on your way, what item would you turn back for if you realized that you left it home? And hands down, everyone wanted their mobile phone. It's like, they, as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, mobile phone was not even as, that mobile phone was higher on the list than their credit cards.
Wow.
Exactly. The first thing that came out of people's mind was their phone. So that was just a little test I did on Facebook a while ago, and that was the result that I got. You mentioned something that now leads me to another question. You talked about some of the bigger hotels. Some of the big hotels or fancy hotels. Tell me about that. Considering my vision of Cuba is that they are pretty much in this, you know, I don't want to use the word, I don't want to say stuck, because it may not necessarily be the best word, but they are in this sort of 1950s kind of environment. So I always wonder, if we went to Cuba, then what kind of accommodations could we expect? You know, what are the restaurants like? Because, you know, here in America, in places like New York, we have fabulous hotels and fabulous restaurants. Is it, can you find any of that in Cuba?
Well, we have to keep in mind that while we haven't been able to travel to Cuba, the rest of the world has been able to. So there's definitely some really great hotels over there. I don't want to give the impression that it's not. We have, if you traveled in the Caribbean at all, some of the names you will definitely know, like Iberostar is over there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really great properties from Iberostar over there. So you're going to find some 4- and 5-star hotels there for sure. And then you're also going to find some of the smaller mom and pop establishments that you will find very delightful. Great food, not as luxury as what you might be thinking you would get, but very comfortable, very clean establishments you can stay at. So while we haven't been able to go, the rest of the world is there. There's Iberostar, there's Marcelo over there as well. You'll also find some Melia properties over there that are really nice. So yeah, there's some really nice places to stay over in Cuba.
Well, for those listening that may not necessarily be familiar with some of the very established and very nice 4- and 5-star brands, as Margie is mentioning, Iberostar and Somalia have very, very nice properties in different places around the world. These are big companies, and they know how to do it right. So you've at least for me, you've named some pretty good hotel chains.
Well, and there's a number of U.S. hotel chains. You know, that we've gotten this door slightly open, there's opportunity. And I wouldn't be surprised if you would see more U.S. brands there shortly if Cuba opens that door wide enough. You're definitely going to see some of the U.S. brands there as well. But think of it as it's a Caribbean island, so you have to keep that whole idea of that Caribbean resort ideal in mind. That's what you're going to find in Cuba. And there's definitely some areas there and some hotels there that are not necessarily that standard. So you've got a good range there. Bed and breakfast opportunities are there. Depending upon the experience you're hoping to have, the tour operator you go with, the hotels I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with.
Fantastic. And what about restaurants outside of resorts and of obviously some of the big establishments? What about local cuisine, local family-owned restaurants? What type of cuisine could we expect when we are in Cuba?
Oh, this is probably the best part. You're going to definitely get that traditional Cuban food, but what makes this good is if you get outside of those resorts, restaurants, you're going to find some really great out-of-the-way kind of mom-and-pop-ish places that serve some of the most amazing food. So I think you're going to enjoy that experience. And you're almost, this is where getting to know the locals is going to be really helpful, because you're going to want to kind of talk to them and see where they're hanging out and where they're eating and that sort of thing, and kind of follow that crowd a little bit. Because one of the best things I think you would attest to about travel is eating where the locals eat.
Oh, absolutely.
That's part of the best part of going out and traveling is having some of that authentic cuisine. So Cuba's going to surprise you in that respect. You're going to find the plantains. You're going to find, you know, the black beans and rice and all of those Cuban bread and all of that wonderful food there. So, yes, it's going to surprise you a little bit.
Well, one thing that I've noticed in my travels is that when you are in a particular country and you might have something in mind and your reference is perhaps a restaurant here in the States, and I'm laughing already about it, you might think, oh, I'll go to this restaurant here in such a part of a big city, and they serve Cuban food, or they serve Chinese food, they serve whatever. And then you go to the actual, the real destination. You go to Cuba, or you go to Mexico, or you go to Asia, and the food is completely different. The flavor is robust. The flavor is amazing. It's just a completely different experience. So that's very, very exciting to think about, because I'm a real foodie, Margie. That's one of my weaknesses. If someone says to me, do you have any food allergies? My answer is I'm trying to discover one, but I have yet to find anything that I am allergic to. Unfortunately for me, I can eat anything. So we're going to go to break. But when we come back from break, I want to talk about something that I read, and that had to do with whether or not there's a cruise, or if Cuba would be a stop on a cruise itinerary. So can we go there when we come back from break?
Absolutely.
I'm enjoying this conversation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern, on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics.
Dude.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
It's such a long way home from here, walking the miles we lost last year, counting our promises and tears. It's such a long way home, is a long.
Welcome back to Travel and Wellness Today. This is your host, William Paris, having a very interesting, fascinating, fun conversation with my guest today, Margie Jordan. And our topic is Cuba. And we're talking about the fact that so many people have in mind to go to Cuba now that the doors are open. But certainly something that has come out of this conversation is that the doors are not as wide open as we might think. They're open, but as Margie put it in her words, the doors are slightly open. And that when you go to Cuba, you need to have a schedule of activities, and you need to keep track of it. You need to have a record of what you're doing and hold on to those your records of what you did and who you met when you were in Cuba for, you know, 5 years. And that's the reason why anyone that is considering Cuba on their bucket list might want to, or it is highly recommended that you use a travel service that can organize this, walk you through the visa process, and walk you through all of the things that are required in order for you to, first of all, be accepted, get in, and not have complications when you arrive. And Margie, of course, has a wealth of information, and her company is called Jordan Executive Travel Services. And before we end this segment and before we end the show, I'm going to ask Margie to share how you can contact her for more information on Cuba. But let's talk about the cruise industry and where you see that heading where as far as Cuba is concerned.
Definitely, there's a lot of opportunity here too. We're getting all sorts of news reports about the cruise lines who are starting to do cruises to Cuba. And it comes with a couple of options here. So there's a couple of companies. Globus, which is a tour company, just announced that they're partnering with a small ship line to do cruises in Cuba. And it's interesting because I haven't seen their itinerary yet. I don't think it's been announced. But kind of how this works is if Cuba is a stop on a cruise itinerary, then all of the same requirements apply with you entering Cuba. The visa is necessary. All the same things apply. So when you dock and you go through customs, you would need that visa. And when you're in Cuba, you would have to have a full day of activities that interacts with the Cuban culture, and then you go back to the cruise ship. So the same rules apply. You're just visiting it via, you know, a port. Now, what's interesting is Carnival Cruises decided to really play off of this. And I'm not sure if you're familiar, but they've introduced a new line called Fathom. And Fathom is probably one of the most fabulous ideas I've heard in a long time. They have started doing volunteer tourism via a cruise ship. They started with the Dominican Republic, and this they go, and when you have training on board the ship on things you'll be doing on the island, but the whole goal is that you're on the island volunteering and helping the people. So they started with the Dominican Republic, and next year they're introducing Cuba as one of the itineraries for Fathom. And it will be, I don't know how long that cruise is going to be. I want to say it's about a week. But when you go, every day you'll go off the ship and into the onto the island, and you will have a full day of activity with interacting with the culture. You'll spend time in some of the orphanages there, interacting with the kids. And every day you'll have this sort of adventure on the island. And it's more of a volunteer tourism effort than it is a typical vacation. So the cruise lines are approaching it the exact same way you would from a land portion, because the requirements are still the same. But there are a couple of cruise lines who are jumping on this now and starting to think about adding Cuba as a stop on that itinerary.
Wow. I just had an OMG moment, you know, when you were describing what Carnival is doing with their new brand called Fathom. And I could not be more excited about that, because I've done two missions trips where I've gone into other countries where we've gone to orphanages, and it completely had a major impact on my own personal life. And it certainly isn't for everyone, but if you have a heart for giving, doing that type of a trip where you go into communities and you meet locals, and you become, and you do volunteer work that actually make a difference in other people's lives, it becomes much less about it. It's less about you, it's more about giving. But then when you flip it, you end up being the individual that really gets the most out of it, more than the one that you've actually given to, because it changes your life. So that Fathom brand is absolutely awesome, and I really appreciate you mentioning that, because that is something that I personally will look further into. Now, you said that they do this also in the Dominican Republic as well. Is that right?
Yes, they are currently doing them in the Dominican Republic. It's a great thing. And they also allow you, which I think is fabulous, they let you take kids. They have to be a certain age. But can you imagine the interaction, you know, a 10 or 11-year-old would have in going to help other 10 and 11-year-olds, especially in the Dominican Republic, learn to speak English and just help them along? It's an amazing experience. I'm going to drag my granddaughter along, and we're going to do a Fathom trip and just have that experience together.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that we have a few more minutes left. So what I'd like to talk about before we end the show, my producer told me we still have another 5 minutes, which is great, because in the beginning of the show, we were talking about what it's not, in terms of you won't find yourself, you know, necessarily pulling out the chaise lounge and sunbathing on the sand, and you know, it's not necessarily that kind of experience. But when you think of the Caribbean, people do think that, you know, when I go to the Caribbean, part of that experience, even if I learn the culture, even if I do even if I experience the culture and learn about the history, if I'm in the Caribbean, I still want to have that beach experience. Is that something that's still possible?
Well, this is the deal. If you spent the day meeting those U.S. requirements, you've had your full-time schedule of activities, you can actually spend a little bit, and I emphasize a little bit of time. If you're really wanting to have that true Caribbean experience, then Cuba wouldn't be the place you want to go. We just want to keep this all great and not have any problems with the U.S. government about this trip. So don't consider Cuba the place that you're wanting to go and do that at. Like I said, you'll have some opportunity to see the beach, and maybe even the hotel you're staying at is on the beach. However, you won't have a whole lot of time to just kind of lay around out there and soak up some rays and that sort of thing. That's not really what the people-to-people trips are structured to do. They're structured to adhere to the U.S. requirements and give you the best possible experience while you're on the island. So you don't want to go with that ideal in mind. You want to go more with the idea that you're going to have this amazing experience. You're going to get a first-hand account, from the Cuban people about what's happening on their island, how they feel about even the U.S.-Cuban relationship, you're going to come back way more enriched than when you went, and you're going to understand both sides to this story.
Fantastic. Within the next 2 minutes, can you tell me if there is maybe one major attraction that or something that is a must-see when someone goes and visits Cuba?
The one thing I think is the must-see is just that experience of walking through the streets, the little cobblestone streets in Havana, and maybe even hopping in one of those great 1950s cars and just seeing Cuba from that perspective. I always feel like there's no better experience than being on the ground and walking through those little cobblestone streets and getting an idea of this whole Cuban flavor, maybe even shopping at some of the local retailers. To me, that's the highlight of being there, is being in the heart of Havana and having that experience. Maybe even going to the Tropicana Club is where Nat King Cole and Josephine Baker were headlining back in the day. So even having that Cuba nightlife experience, I think is absolutely worth it.
And is Havana the main city in Cuba? Is that the main location? Like the nightlife, that would be in Havana. That would be the big city. That would be where people tend to go. If I'm going to Cuba, I'm going to Havana. But is there any other place that they might, that's more off the beaten trail, that's available to see, or keep it, you know, focused on Havana?
Well, Havana is going to be a big focal point, but you're also going to go out into the countryside, and this is where you're going to meet the farmers, and you're going to spend a lot of time interacting with the people. But I think especially for some of the smaller, the shorter trips, you're going to spend quite a bit of time in Havana, but you'll definitely get out to the countryside as well. So you're going to get a good overview of Cuba from an island perspective when you're there.
Margie, this has been such a fun conversation. It's been amazing. You are, without question, a wealth of information. As much as I'm reading and learning on my own, I'm so glad that I did read your article, and I'm so glad that you agreed to be on the show. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. For those that are listening and had Cuba on the mind, how can they reach you or find out more information from you about Cuba and maybe even other fascinating tours that you're hosting?
Okay. If you're thinking about a trip to Cuba, by all means, give me a call or visit our website. Our website is jordanexecutivetravel.com. And give me a call. The Cuba trips are very personalized, so I'd really like to have a conversation with you and talk about time frames and all of that. You can reach me at 904-446-8687 or again at our website at jordanexecutivetravel.com.
Margie, once again, you're a fascinating guest. You're a lot of fun to speak with. And I just want to thank you once again for taking time out of what I know is a very busy day to be on Travel and Wellness Today. And I also want to thank my listeners that tune in every week. And keep listening, because we're going to have many more exciting topics for you to hear every Thursday at 12 noon on Travel and Wellness Today. Thank you for listening. And thank you again, Margie.
Thank you.
Have an awesome day.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics.
Dude.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.